Better. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. It's the Joe Pag Show, coming your way on a Monday. Oh, yeah. That there would be a Motown Monday. Carrie is off today. I didn't care about the people. It's all right. We've got the regular crew alongside, though. We've got Karina and Polo. Hopefully things are going right. We now know what IHOP is. Polo, were you on pins and needles about IHOP?
No. I kind of had an idea that's what it was, so...
I think most people, I got to be honest, I think most people, before they started reading tweets from people who worked there who knew it was going to be burgers.
Right.
Most people thought it was breakfast.
Right.
Which would have made great sense.
Right.
As a matter of fact.
And I still have a feeling this is only going to be like for a month or something.
Well, here's the thing. Growing up, and I've talked about this a lot on the program, you know, my dad was a blue-collar worker, worked his ass off, 2, 3, 4 jobs, whatever it took, and every once in a while on payday, which was Friday. Is payday Friday at all anymore for anybody? It used to be, right?
I mean, I think it still is.
I mean, most people get paid, like, on the 1st and the 15th, right?
I guess so. I don't.
It's just us. I think, what do you mean you don't? Yes, you do.
No.
Our payday is on the 15th and the 1st.
No.
You get paid differently than I do?
I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like every other Friday or whatever.
No, ever since I've worked at our company, I've been paid on the 1st and the 15th.
But see, but that's because...
That's not how you get paid?
No, but that's probably because you make Joe Pags money. So, you know.
Well, that's what it is. It's the Joe Pags money.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah. Again, I think many people now get paid bi-monthly, twice a month. And it's not necessarily every Friday, but you're saying you get paid every other Friday?
Yes.
Dude, that might be the way to live. I'd be okay with that. I gotta wait till the middle of the month.
I guess.
What? Why not?
I don't know.
So when my father would get paid, sometimes it would be like really, really special that we would go to IHOP. We'd go to the International House of Pancakes. A lot of people didn't realize that it was called IHOP from the International House of Pancakes. And making it, you know, an acronym, which means you can pronounce it, IHOP, was ingenious. Why would you screw with that? And by the way, growing up, when I went to IHOP, guess what I didn't have? Just take a guess what I did not eat there.
Pancakes?
Right. I ate burgers.
Right.
I went and got a cheeseburger at IHOP. Why did they have to change it even temporarily? Of course, Whataburger immediately responds and says, we will never change our name to Whata Pancake, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
That was really ingenious.
No, I think it was something that as much as they love their pancakes, they would never change their name to Whata Pancake, which is awesome.
Totally awesome.
Yeah.
So now, what do you think is good? They have 7 new burgers at IHOP, which they're now calling IHOB, but they have not truly changed their name. IHOP is still the name.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be changing all the signs. And I believe... that IHOB is just a service mark where the trademark or the copyright is still IHOP. So it's not really changing.
My money, all this anticipation,
I don't get it.
Yeah, my money at first, before I started reading some of the tweets and all that other stuff, was like, you know, buffet, like International House of Buffet. That would have been awesome.
The reason why you thought that was because you and I would love that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Come on, dude.
You know?
I think they could probably get it done. I think they should probably rethink this and make it International House of Buffet, because saying that you're now the place for burgers is stupid. It's dumb. I'm willing to be wrong. I haven't gone to IHOP in a long time, but did they stop making burgers for a while? No, right?
No. And I think I will say this, their marketing team was pretty genius with this, because as stupid as it is, people are talking about it and they're introducing all these new burgers.
Do you think that people listening to us right now are really going to go there now to get a burger?
No, of course not. But it took off in social media, you know, and then everybody else is talking about that stuff. So, I mean, that in itself, you know, it's probably worth it.
It's getting great virality. You're right. I agree. Getting great virality. I don't think it sells a burger. I think that they're getting smacked upside the head, figuratively speaking, more so than anything else. I really believe that. I think that they're the laughing stock right now.
Yeah.
But I actually had a friend send me this one, that this is the most historically bad change that they've ever seen, except for maybe this. And I don't even think you knew about this. And you and I are foodies, which just means we like to eat the food. Right. Did you know that Colgate used to do, like, TV dinners?
I did not.
When I say Colgate, I do mean the toothpaste company.
I mean, did it have toothpaste in it?
I'm looking at it. They had beef lasagna. And it says Colgate on there, the same exact Colgate that you'll find on a tube of toothpaste.
That's weird.
This is from something called The Drum, the Failure Awards for Defunct Branding, number one, Colgate Beef Lasagna. And, I mean, come on, dude. Seriously? I'm like, man, I would really love to get to Colgate.
I can see you trying it.
Lasagna. No, not a chance. Dude,
come
not
on,
a chance.
Come on.
I don't think I've ever eaten lasagna out of a box. Come on, man. I'm Italian.
Never?
I wouldn't do that.
Never?
I don't think so.
Wow. Not even like Stouffer's or any of those other brands out there?
Stouffer's did Lean Cuisine, right? I know that I was eating Lean Cuisine after school for a while. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, bro. This doesn't make any sense. So, again, yes, we're talking about it. Yes, we're listened to by millions of people. Yes, they're getting good traction. No, I don't think they're benefiting from me talking about it. I think it's actually hurting them.
See, I think that there's going to be people, because of this whole social media thing, that people are so weird about it, they're going to go there just so they can post that they were there.
I just can't even imagine. Now, you actually bring up a good point, though. If they said, as part of this ridiculous campaign, go there, take a selfie of you eating one of our new burgers, now I see what you're talking about, you know what I'm saying? And that now you're involving people, and I think that's the smart way to go.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just think this is a huge failure. It's dumb. Now, maybe for younger people, who knows? Maybe I'm just being an old codger here. Maybe for younger people, this is good. Sorry. You're cutting me down again. Karina, do you know it as International House of Pancakes, or is it always IHOP to you?
No, I just always say IHOP.
Did you know what it stood for?
Yes.
What do you think about the change?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. I guess that I don't think IHOP sounds very good.
It sounds stupid.
It sounds like
you hobble after eating there.
Exactly.
it's dumb. But then again, do you generally speaking go to IHOP?
No, not really. I used to go when I was younger, but not much anymore.
Is this going to make you go now?
No.
Polo says this is going to make us all go to IHOP.
I'm saying for the people who like to post about where they're at and those kind of things and things that are being trendy in the moment, I can see a lot of people doing that.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone on Instagram check in at IHOP. You know what I mean?
Well, but let's see if they ever check in at IHOP.
Come on, man.
There you go.
Come on, dude.
It could happen.
All right, 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Surely want your comments on that. And then I'm gonna talk about something I posted the other day. Polo, did you happen to see the post, or Karina, did you happen to see the post that I put up on my Facebook page the other day about a father who was able to make it home for his son's birthday, but he made him go through like a bunch of rigmarole before he like revealed the fact that he was home? And this is a guy who was like deployed somewhere. Did you guys see that video that I posted?
No.
No, I haven't.
Some of the responses were ridiculous. Now, I like cried when I watched this video, but some of the responses really tell me how, you know, it took it to a level of snowflakery that I've never seen in my life. We'll talk about that too. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. It'll be Dinesh D'Souza at the bottom of hour number two, a brand new book, brand new movie that's coming out now. We'll give you all the details of that. And we'll talk about President Trump in Singapore meeting with Kim Jong. What do you want to happen in that meeting? Joe Pags Show coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Stop.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Talking about IHOP. We'll get to some of your calls on that. I also want to talk about a post that I made floating around the social media over the weekend, and I ran into a video of a young boy. I don't know how old he is, 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And he gets a big giant box from his father, who is deployed. And his father sent the box, and there was a note attached to it, I guess, that said, "I'm really sorry. I won't be able to make it home for your birthday this year. You know, I love you so much, blah, 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 whatever." Now, dad is there. Mom is videoing the kid opening the box. It's a big box. And the kid's opening. He's obviously upset. And you know, he wants dad home. Obviously, you'd rather take dad than a gift any day, right? And dad's right there. Now, he doesn't know it, but dad's going to come out and surprise him later. So I'm watching it, and he opens the first box. There's another box inside. Opens the next box, another box inside. Mom, more boxes. Look at all these boxes. Opens the next box, another box inside. Opens the next box, another box inside. And then he gets right down to it. And inside the last small box is something that dad hand wrote, something about, I don't know, I'm just paraphrasing here, but the context of it was, I actually am here, and the guy walks out. Kid bursts into tears, jumps into dad's arms. It's a beautiful story. It's an amazing turn of events. Wow, what a great deal. This is wonderful. Dad's home for the birthday. I'm 51 years old, and I'm a big-ass guy, and I cried. Okay, so that's how much it touched me. So I'm floating around, right? And I decided to look at some of the comments. I shared this on my fan page. And I took a look at it. And I'm just stunned by it. First of all, this has been seen by 88 million people. That's not because I posted it. It was seen by many people before I ever posted it. And the top comment was by some guy that says, I'm going to express an opinion that's different from a lot of the comments. First, I love coming home videos from our military, but this one I don't. I like the end result, but the emotional abuse this child endured is not acceptable to me. I worked with military-dependent children. I know their anxieties and fear that they live with daily, if not hourly, to add to their stresses. Like, this is just cruel. All right, you know, again, snowflakery like I've never seen. The kid was in distress or had anxiety for a total of about a minute. And the end result was so wonderful that all of that went out the window immediately. It was a great surprise. It was a cool trick. I mean, we've driven from New York to Florida to visit my parents without telling them. And we sneaked up, and I was on the phone with my mom saying, man, I really wish we could have been there for Christmas this year. And then we walk in the front door. Was that cruel and horrible and causing anxiety? This kid could not have been happier than that dad was right there. I never thought we'd live in a society where it was somehow mainstream to attack people for doing good things. That either you live exactly as I say you live, or else you are fill-in-the-blank horrible person. I just had some doofus write me an email about it just now, because I went on there and I said, I don't know what's wrong with you snowflakes, but if you find something cruel about this, unlike my page, don't listen to my show. I mean, that's bottom line for me. I don't have the time. Now, again, I'm willing to disagree with you and have a dichotomy or diversity of understanding or belief. But when you say this was unreal, this was cruel, this was unusual, this is anxiety-filled and horrible, you can kiss my ass, get off my page. It just doesn't make any sense. It's actually a ridiculous comment to make, knowing what this father probably had to go through just to make it home for his child's birthday. They can't have a little fun? You know, ask the kid if he was filled with anxiety and stress and if he thought it was cruel. Come on, man. Grow up a little bit. Let me go to the phone line, say hello, and welcome to AJ.
Big time Motown, Joe Pags. Hey, you're not surprised, are you?
Well, I guess not. AJ, can I be honest? It was the weekend. I didn't shave. I was let my hair down. And I did not expect to get hit upside the head by this liberal snowflake crap. I just didn't get it.
Well, I got a word. They not snowflakes. They ain't white. I'm just going to be blunt with it. I'm sorry. I mean, Jesus Christ, come on. Now, ever since, okay, I'll go again. Ever since they had that idiot in our White House that last 8 years, look what happened to us, big time Motown, and he's still out there punching punches out. And I'm like, people, are y'all going to ever wake up from what I call it the white liberals? And you know the white liberals been keeping blacks down for the longest, along with Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and them helping. And let me admit, because they're going to say, who are they talking about? People, I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, all them bunches of people, Democrat Party, that keep the whites and blacks down and want to keep us divided. That's who I'm talking about. So they, you know how fake media is. You know how they get it wrong when you say something. But big time Motown, Robert De Niro, you know I rumble. Robert De Niro, I don't know what kind of mental disorder he got, but just think if we had done that to Barack Hussein Obama, which he deserved it for what he did to this country, but just think what would have happened, big time Motown. And the media just, I mean, this media, you just, wait to Trump, what? Everything Trump do over there going to be wrong. Watch it, people, watch it. It's going to be wrong. Now, we making history. Barack had 8 years. it. Turn in that peace prize if you're listening. I'm sick of it. People, wake up. They got
it's a great question. What would have happened had even a black actor said F Obama like De Niro did? They would have been thrown out of the society, man. They would have, and forget it. If it were a white guy, he would have been charged with something. So at the end of the day, you've got a double standard here. You got a double standard here that is almost unbearable. But thank God there are people like you and people like me and people like all of my listeners and viewers who understand that Trump is doing incredible things and bringing us together. The East Coast and the West Coast, those big cities, they're never going to get it. But the rest of us, I think, kind of get it.
Oh, yeah. And think about it. Barack can't carry Trump's shoes. Trump less than a year and a half done more than Barack done in 8 years. And nobody even won't talk about it. Hey, people, wake up. We got history in the makings. And Big Time Old Town, keep on doing the great job you're doing. We love you, man. And keep
marching on.
Love you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, AJ. We love you. We love AJ calls in every Monday. And whenever he gets riled up during the week, he'll call in it again. We always appreciate hearing from him. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A call on IHOB, which is dumb. James is in Kansas. James, what's going on?
Not too much, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
You bet.
Hey,
thanks,
I quit going to IHOP a long time ago. Once I spelled it backwards, it was pooey. I'm done with that.
Okay, that's nice.
And one other point, I figured out where Obama was actually born.
Okay, where was he born?
If you spell his name backwards, it's KC Arab. Kenyan citizen, KC.
Okay. All right, James, we appreciate you. Polo, clearly James spends his life spelling people's names backwards just to see what he can make of them.
Yeah, I guess he was also that guy that would listen to the records backwards and stuff, maybe.
I guess. I mean, maybe he was why they were doing the subliminal messages, but I don't know. I couldn't pronounce my name backwards, Pagliarulo. I have no idea what it would be backward. I think it's really cool show host. I think it actually comes out to cool show host, something like that. Close anyway. All right, don't have time to take another call. We're going to take more calls when we come back. Two topics on the line right now. IHOB. Masterful change of name because we're all talking about it and everybody's going to rush down to go get some burgers or dad coming home video. A couple of people already calling in on that. I hope that you've seen it. If you haven't, go to joepags.com, joepags.com, and click on Facebook. That'll take you to my specific page, not your news feed. Go to my page and scroll down a little bit. You'll see the video. And I'm willing to hear you tell me what you think about it. And even if you disagree that it's wonderful, I'll listen to you. But if you come out of the box, it's cruel, it's anxiety-filled, it's stressful, it's horrible, well, then you've already lost because that's dumb. Keep it here. Joe Pags coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Better.
You wouldn't know it from the news, but this summit in Singapore with President Trump is historic. We're going to talk about that coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, while you're there, the live video stream is happening right there at the website, the right-hand side of your computer screen. Scroll down if you're on a device. Love having you along for the ride. We want to welcome a brand new station today. It is KREI in Farmington, Missouri. KREI, Farmington, Missouri, starting today. We appreciate you. We love you. I think we're going to be doing an hour a day there, but that's a great start, and we're really glad to be on the radio station. We go to the phone lines. IHOB, ingenious, really, really smart thing to do. What a great ploy. Or, man, it's dumb. And the B stands for burgers. They haven't really changed their name from IHOP to IHOB. They just wanted to, I guess, reboot the whole burger deal because they've had burgers as long as I can remember. I think so. I don't remember not having burgers there. So I guess they've got 7 new burgers, different flavors or something. We'll take your calls on that. And hopefully you've gone to my Facebook page and watched that video of the soldier coming home for his son's birthday, played a little trick, acted like he wasn't coming home, and then there he was. And there are really snowflakes out there freaking out how horrible it was. It was cruel and unusual, anxiety-filled, stressful, and all this other crap. And it's not. It's a father with an enormously wonderful surprise for his little son, who clearly loved it. So let me go to the phone lines and see where you are on IHOB. It's going to be Jonathan, Minneapolis. Hi, Jonathan.
Yeah, hey, Joe. Say, what does the bunny say when you ask him how he crossed the road?
I'm guessing he says IHOP. Yes.
He says IHOP, and that's why it can't change because the joke doesn't work.
All right, yeah, that sucky cell phone award. Apollo, sucky cell phone. Do you know what the punchline was? He says IHOP because of what?
Because my phone sucks. No?
Pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah, I think you got it. I think you nailed it. Let me go back at it. Ed is in Texas. Ed, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?
Living a dream, my friend. What's happening?
Well, I saw your video originally when you put it on Saturday, and I responded, and I even shared it. I'm a 30-year retired Army Sergeant Major, been to war 3 times and returned home.
Thank you.
That broke me down.
I cried when I saw it. Now, did you see some of the responses, though?
You know, Joe, I haven't been able to go back along, but I'm going along when I get home. I'm out getting dinner for my wife. But I'll tell you what, these liberals must be so unhappy in life that it's such a special moment to them they get ignorant about.
I mean, they attacked the guy. They attacked a man who's out there fighting for freedom, liberty, and our Constitution. They attacked him like he's a child abuser. They actually used the word abuse.
Joe, this is to be expected from these people. They have no respect for nothing. They're as bad as De Niro the other night. I can't stand these people. They're trying to bring this country down, and people like you and me and the vast majority of your listeners will not allow that to happen. And I can't say how much I appreciate the truth that you put out every day.
All right, brother. I appreciate you, Ed, and thank you again for your service, my man. Apollo, is it going to be a bad cell phone day? Is that what we're dealing with today?
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like sucky cell phone Monday. I mean, I don't even know there's a name for it.
I don't think we're doing anything wrong, but these phones just aren't very good.
No.
I'm going to suggest that you guys upgrade your phones. I'm just going to put it out there. There's good technology now, but I love you, and I appreciate that you went and you served for us. And I think he's right on. He's spot on with his opinion. I am more than willing to hear somebody having a varying opinion about this, but what I find is everybody's a badass on Facebook and Twitter. They're not, generally speaking, willing to call in and have the argument. Let me go to Chris, who's in San Antonio. Chris, what's up?
Hey, Joe, thanks for taking my call. One, I'm not defending that guy. I didn't see what he posted. So I had to say it's probably because it was a military guy. But I'm going to give you something from another perspective from what I was experiencing when you were telling me the story. And okay. I haven't seen the video. When I was 8 and a half, one day my mom and my dad were getting ready to go somewhere, and my older brother and sister and they were like, hey, where are you going? And they said, we're going to find a house. And we were like, hey, we're going to move. They go, no, your dad's moving. And I lost my dad that day. And, I mean, he was always in my life. After that, we went to see him. But, you know, I remember my brother and my sister crying. And I didn't cry. I sat on the swings. I knew what it meant.
Yeah.
But my dad wasn't coming home. So when you were telling the story, it was triggering that. And so all I'm doing is giving a different perspective of what, you know, like me, I don't think it was wrong them doing that. I wouldn't do it because it triggers a pain in me of losing my dad and my dad not coming home. And so it could have been that some of these people, I'm not saying all of them, because probably some of them were just doing it because it was military, but it could have been it was triggering the pain that they felt when they lost their dad. Does that make sense?
Well, Chris, honestly, I hear in your voice that it did obviously affect you, but I got to tell you, and maybe because I know my dad has died, so if I found out my dad was coming back, I would be very, very joyous, and I've lost him for good, gone. He's been dead for 8 years, and I hate it. But having said that, I don't understand the comparison between the two stories. This father isn't dead. He didn't get a divorce. He didn't move away. He just happened to be deployed. That's his job, and he was able to make it home. I have dad issues. Sounds like you have dad stuff too, which is cool. We could talk about that. But how do you at all compare these two stories? I'm not following.
Well, just like when you told that story, it triggered in me the sense that my dad wasn't coming home.
Now, I got you.
Now I'm pretty rational. I can differentiate the two. I know that's something I experienced, so I wouldn't say anything. But somebody else, some of these people on Yahoo and I mean on Facebook and YouTube.
Right.
Not telling what they're going to say. And so, and like I said, I don't know what he said. And
by the way, I would have no problem with your comment. I would never have gone after you on my Facebook page and said, how dare you, Chris? Who the hell do you think you are? But these people said, this is child abuse. And I'm going, what?
Yeah, that's
child abuse?
That's baloney.
Yeah. I got you, brother. Chris, I appreciate you. And look, I do feel for the story. I have compassion for you, and I'm sympathetic to you. I don't see the comparison of the two stories. Both were about fathers, but that was about it, because this one was coming home, and he wasn't going to go get a new house, and they weren't getting a divorce. I do understand that it triggered something in you, and that's why you called in. I get that, and I am compassionate to it. I just don't understand how one has anything to do with the other. And again, certainly if you wrote that story in response to that video post, I get it. I can understand. This is your dad's story. But the bottom line for me is this was an overwhelmingly good story, a positive story, one where you saw sheer joy from a family, especially the little boy. Back at it. It's going to be line two is John in Church. John, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing today, Mr. Peck?
I'm living the dream, man. What's happening?
I'm against those videos as a whole. And the reason being is because I think they do it to create a spectacle for themselves, and they actually sacrifice the time that they have with their children and their family. Because when you get sent back in those environmental leaves, it's usually 10 to 14 days, and if you're flying into the United States, you're getting charged for the time that you're actually flying. So the logistical side, you're probably losing about a day or two that you're spending with your kids, especially if you're waiting for the big game in the NFL stadium to do it there.
Maybe I understand that you're relating it to those, but this one took 3 minutes. This wasn't one of those. This wasn't this where they had to wait 2 days. This took 3 minutes.
But it's not like his plane landed and he arrived straight there. I guarantee he probably got there at least the day before.
Actually, you're incorrect. He was standing in his own house.
Adding into it.
He was there. Right. Stop, John. Let's have a conversation, man. You're just going to keep going, or what are you going to do? Let's talk. Hey, John. I'm Joe. Let's talk. All right. So the guy standing in his kitchen, his son is opening the present that's right there. There is no indication that he was there standing in the kitchen for 2 days. It appears as though he came home, set it up with his wife. His wife probably made the whole thing, and then he's waiting for the present to be opened so he can walk out. It took 3 minutes. Now, I don't understand how you're putting this time thing on it now. The whole stadium thing, I don't know. There might be ridiculous planning in the stadium stuff. I get all that. But I'm trying. You're actually trying, and you're still just talking, and nobody can hear you. So what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, John, you're making assumptions that we just can't make. It appears to be a video that is just uplifting that took about 3 minutes. Now I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, I thought the video was very heartwarming and everything, but my stance on those are basically if you're doing it in a manner that's reducing the amount of time you actually get to spend with the family member, it's counterproductive to what you're actually there to do, and that's spend time with
the family. That's understandable. I actually agree with you on that if they're doing that. But I will throw this out because I think you might be missing this. And the big picture for me is these videos are important. These reunions that they're willing to share with the public are important because I think that we never want to have people coming back from the war zone and be treated like they were when they came back from Vietnam. These, to me, are appropriate because we should be showing the general public, look at the sacrifice this family gives so this guy or this gal can fight for our Constitution and for our freedoms. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that sentiment. Definitely.
I got you, brother. All right, John, I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I understand that perspective. That does make sense. If you're wasting 2 or 3 days to make a big spectacle of it, I get it. This was in their living room. This wasn't at halftime. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Coming right back. Go and check out the video in the meantime.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
The tools you need to face the day, like news.
I like to stay informed.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Ain't nothing like the real thing. Oh, yeah, Loach on Monday. Getting it done. My pleasure to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Talk about that video that's on my Facebook page. It's another one of these soldier comes home videos. And he had his son open up several boxes for his birthday before revealing the fact that he actually was there, actually saying that he couldn't make it home this year. And then there he was. And it took, it legitimately took like minutes, a couple of minutes. And the kid was off the hook. Cruel, unusual, it's abusive. There's something wrong with people who get joy out of being so unbelievably nasty in their judgmentalness. Look, I don't mind people judging. I judge all the time. And those of you saying that you don't judge, you're lying. Like Paul, let me throw this out there. If you have a gym that says it's the no judgment zone and then makes it clear you don't want me to go, aren't they judging? Everybody's judgy.
Yes.
I mean, what you choose to eat for dinner tonight, you're making a judgment. What I choose to talk about today, I'm judging. Driving down the road, I'm judging how people are driving. We do that all the time. We've made it some weird negative. But the judginess, when it becomes nastiness and attacking, that's typically something that people have gotten very good at with the advent of social media. Social media gives you that cloak of anonymity. Although we can see your names in much of it, we can't really see your face and don't really know you. We'll never really interact with you in real life. That's why on my personal Facebook, it's people that I know. Those of you who are requesting me on my personal Facebook, if I decline the request, I don't like you. I don't know you. And that's for the personal people. Now, we've got the Twitter feed that I do during the program and Facebook and Instagram sometimes. And those were accessible there. We can go back and forth. But to be so ridiculously nasty and horrifically just insulting in your judginess. That's nuts to me. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Go and see that video, JoePags.com. Click on Facebook, and you'll see the video. 88, 89 million people now have seen it. The vast majority obviously think it's great, wonderful, and beautiful, which it is. But there are some people on there who really, I don't know, maybe they just wanted attention. You know, I might be falling into their little trap. Maybe they just wanted attention, and I'm giving it to them. Who knows? Meantime, let me tell you about Super Beats. As we age, we all notice our bodies change. I know I saw it happening. Less energy, you're tired when you never used to be. Well, recently I learned that it's due to a decrease in circulation. That's what makes you feel that way. I found out that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote natural, healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. That's why I drink Super Beats every morning. Super Beats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Super Beats is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call 800-516-8389 or go online joelovesbeets.com. Now, with your first order, you're going to get another 30-day supply of Super Beats free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beats is working for you, and you get free shipping as well. Here's that number again, 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or go online joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. Time for a phone caller two. Let me say hello and welcome to line three is Kristen in Minnesota. Kristen, what's going on? Hi. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
First of all,
you're on now, Kristen. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I just want to make a comment on the video. I'm a military
Please.
Mom and wife, and we've Great. Been through three deployments. My kids from first grade all the way through their senior year of high school. I guess I see a difference in the video as far as, first of all, I don't think it's cruel and unusual, but I do just kind of question the choice. I guess I've seen kids how upsetting it is to be away from a parent and to have them deployed and miss so many things, that to say they're coming home and then as kind of a joke to say, nope, that's not going to happen. I do struggle with that a little bit because I just have seen how hard it is. I don't know why someone would play that kind of a little, trick or game with somebody who's had such a hard time with it. So that's just kind of...
Kristen, I think the reason is kind of obvious because they wanted to increase the level of surprise. So you say, I'm not going to come home, then 45 seconds, show him that you're there. You know, it's not like he said, I'm not coming home, and then waited a week. You know what I mean? Knowing that he was coming home the whole time and made him suffer. Like this was momentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I say I don't think it's cruel and abusive by any means. But I just, like I said, I wouldn't want to break my kid's heart for even a few seconds. I guess I just see that it's been so hard and so tough and so emotional for such a long time. I wouldn't want to do one more thing that even for a few seconds, I wouldn't want to put them through any anxiety or be heartbroken for just a second, especially since they've been so excited to have that parent come home. It's different when they're not expected and dad or mom pops in and graduation or something and it's, you know, so emotional. But when they've been excited about it and then say, oh, guess what? They aren't. I just have them cry like that or to be heartbroken for just a few seconds would still be, for me, would be really hard.
Well, Kristen, I appreciate the perspective, certainly, and I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to stick to my guns on it. It's a very short amount of time. I don't know that the kid thought that he was definitely coming home. He definitely says in the note, I'm not going to be able to make it this year. I'm sorry. And then, you know, again, a minute later, there he is. He's there. And I think the elation probably overwhelms the feeling of you know, anxiety and hurt over him not coming home because obviously he's home. I saw another video last week. I don't know how many people saw this, but a kid was graduating high school. And 100% didn't think dad was coming home for the high school graduation. And Kristen just sort of alluded to this a minute ago. And then there he is. He gets his diploma. And the principal, whoever it is holding him at the podium longer than usual. And there was a reason for that because then they have to present dad, who now has, in fact, made it home for the graduation. And this is a big kid. He's 17, 18, 19 years old. And he's basically an adult now, a young adult. And he's breaking down and he's crying. Was it cruel and unusual? How long did dad know he was coming home? Was it cruel and abusive that he knew he was coming home for a month? Just don't tell, you know, Junior. And if you, you know, if you don't tell Junior, is that horrible? Because the entire time Junior thought dad wasn't coming. It's a horrible thing. So I don't know. I not talking about Kristen, I understand her perspective. And as a military family, I appreciate the sacrifice. But those of you who have shown up on my Facebook page and are using words like abusive, using words like cruel, using words like anxiety and stress, I think there's something wrong with you. And I'm being legitimate about this. I want you to go get checked out. Report back to me. Let me know what the medical professionals say. Because that's just nuts to me. After what this guy, one would assume, is sacrificing by signing on the dotted line, he can do a little surprise on his son for a few minutes. Quick break here. We're back after this. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Life. Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more, right? They're also Newsmax TV. The Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Monday. It's a Motown Monday. The tenor saxophone of Junior Walker. Getting her done. Carrie is off today. Full of that for you. Ratings already spiking. Just going to put it right out there. I don't know if she's on a staycation or she's on a vacation. I don't know what the hell she's doing. She'll be back later in the week. We appreciate you stopping by. For those just joining us now, appreciate you. Thanks a lot for making it happen. We've got a lot going on, and I think that I still have a call who wants to disagree with me about a story that we finished last hour with, and we'll finish this up here. Then I want to talk about Robert De Niro, and I don't know. I guess if you yell F the president, and it's a president that many people on the left don't like, that's cool. That's acceptable. You can applaud and give a standing ovation. Paula, did you get a standing ovation, or did they just applaud it?
I thought I heard that he did get a standing ovation.
So, I mean, I'm not sure I understand why. I mean, if anybody would have done that with Obama, like AJ said last hour, it would have been mayhem. It would have been shut down the studios. It would have been arrest the guy. I'm telling you, it would have been that bad. We'll get into that in a moment. We also, at the bottom of the hour, are going to have Dinesh D'Souza back. He, of course, an award-winning writer, movie maker, actor. He's a guy who's a New York Times bestseller. He's a formerly convicted felon. He's not anymore. The felony's gone. He was pardoned last week. And now he's come out with a new movie, and the left is already freaking out about it because the picture on the movie poster is a mix-up, a morphing of Abraham Lincoln's face and Donald Trump's face. Oh, boy. That's going to freak some people out. The name of the movie is Death of a Nation. Can We Save America? A second time. We talk about that at the bottom of the hour. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. Okay, let's get into Robert De Niro. Oh, by the way, I want to just say this to those who are watching and listening. If you call in, there is no policy that would disallow you from calling in because of your name. And here's what I mean. There's a guy on Twitter who swears he's called in twice now, and he's been hung up on twice. And I said, well, what do you say? You call in and you say you want to be on the Joe Pags Show. What do you want to do? Nope. I call in and I say, Aaron in Indiana. Now, let me make this as clear as I can. Karina can verify this. There is no policy where I would say, Karina, today we're not going to take guys named Aaron, or we're going to take people named John or Betty. We don't do that. That's not what it is. If your phone sucks and it's not understandable, you won't make it on. If you sound like you're drunk, you know, own your stuff, and you're not going to make it on if you sound drunk. If there's some other issue with how you sound and it won't broadcast well, we probably won't let you on then. There is never a policy that you can't disagree with the host. There's never a policy that you're going to let you go by your name. Karina, do you remember a guy named Aaron from Indiana calling in twice?
No. Was he saying that was today?
Oh, yeah. Just happened. Called in twice, got hung up on twice.
There's been two times that somebody calls in, I say hello, nobody says anything, and there's just silence, so then I hang up.
Well, the problem is Aaron has a sucky cell phone. That's his problem. And it's... But isn't it odd that anybody would ever think that you have some directive to not answer the phone call if the guy's name is Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, I would.
And then over the weekend, we had some idiot. By the way, she deleted her review. But over the weekend, we had some idiot who claimed that she called in and you said, you're going to make Joe sound stupid, so I'm not going to let you through.
Right.
I mean, if I know you well enough, and Karina, I love you. You know I do. You're like one of my family. If I know you well enough, if you think the guy's going to make me sound stupid, you'll let him in. I mean, that's like one of the rules. If this person's going to debate Joe well, and it's going to be, you know, where they're going to go back and forth, I don't think if there's a consideration they're not going to make it through. In fact, I sort of had that dictatorial. If somebody is going to bring it, I want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Have you ever told somebody that?
No, I never say nobody can come on. The only time, sometimes I'll get people that call in and say, well, I disagree with Joe about this, this, and this. I'll be like, okay, he'd love to take your call when he is talking about that, but he's on a completely different topic. Like, they'll call in about something you talked about a month ago, and they're still upset about it or something, and then they'll say, oh, he doesn't take anyone that disagrees with him. I'm like, no, he does. It's just completely off topic today.
And again, we have to either let the people who don't like me, you know, produce the show, or we just do it like a normal show is done. But people like that will invariably go and write me a nasty review that he's a piece of crap and he talks over you and doesn't take phone calls from people who disagree. Well, none of that's true. So there you go. Great. I just want to make sure that you weren't saying no to people named Aaron today.
No. Aaron can be on the show.
I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Robert De Niro, where was this? This was at the Tony Awards. The Tony Awards, and I don't watch them, but I'm pretty sure I know this. This is for people who act on Broadway, and you get awarded if you're a really great actor, maybe a dancer or a singer or whatever. It's great. Look, I think awards are great. I like getting awards. I've won a couple. Polo loves when I bring that up. It's a way for you to say, you know, it's a way for peers, in other words, people that work in the same industry as you do, to say, you know what, you're all right by me. You do a good job. And you should be awarded because that was a nice thing that you did. It was a great song that you sang, great acting that you did, or whatever. I think awards are great. I think that it keeps people motivated, keeps people using their drive and ambition to hopefully get an award one day. And there's nothing wrong with that. Robert De Niro is one of the greatest actors of our time. Now, he basically plays the same role in every movie, but whatever. He's a great actor. He really makes you believe the emotion that he's putting out there. I think that's what makes a great actor, what they do with their eyes, and whether you can believe they're happy, sad, mad, angry, whatever, at any given moment. Robert De Niro has been especially good at making us think he's nuts. And I'm not here to say that he is. I'm just here to say that he's very good at showing us that. Or angry. I haven't seen a whole lot of sad. I haven't seen a whole lot of emotion that way. But the guy's a great actor. But when he's not reading his own words, he's kind of feeble. I saw him on, was it Jimmy Fallon? Polo, do you remember, was he on the first Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show? I think he was. The very first time he took over the Tonight Show, I get the feeling Robert De Niro was on there.
It would make sense because it's in New York, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And not a great interview. Then he hosted Saturday Night Live, not very good in sketch comedy. But it's Robert De Niro, so he can pretty much do whatever he wants. Well, this guy comes out last night. I guess he got some award. And he walked out and he said, first I want to say F-word Trump. De Niro said, it's no longer down with Trump, it's F-word Trump. And he didn't say F-word, he obviously said the word. Had to be bleeped out or censored out, I guess this was on national television. And it just, I mean, I don't understand. It's, to me, a sign of the times. The people who disagree with this president, the people who disagree with all the positive things that have happened, have never made an argument as to what their problem is. And this guy's had a problem with Donald Trump forever. Now, Paul, you and I were speculating earlier. I mean, could it be, and maybe this was actually somebody emailed me, but could it be that Robert De Niro, who's a New Yorker, has some history with Donald Trump that we don't know about?
I could see that. Adam, doesn't he have some businesses and stuff like that?
He does. I think that in Tribeca, I think there's some big thing that he's doing there. I don't know whether there was a business deal ever between these guys. I don't know if they've ever even met.
Or if he got pushed out because of Trump.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
And I wish somebody would research it, because instead of being a journalist that just reports what Robert De Niro is saying or what Donald Trump is saying, why don't go and dig a little bit? Go find out. What is the problem here? Ask Robert De Niro, what exactly is your problem? I would love to know the real reason. Now, it doesn't validate my life if I know why Robert De Niro doesn't like the president. It really doesn't matter, other than it seems to be top of mind, trending everywhere. Everybody's talking about it, so I want to get my opinion out there. Robert De Niro is not well-known, famous, rich, or any of that because of his own thoughts and his own life. He's all of those things, rightfully so, because he's really, really good at his job, which is reading somebody else's words, which is telling somebody else's story, which is, you know, standing in a perfect spot for a camera or a light. He's not a guy that we say, wow, the depth of his knowledge. We don't know what his knowledge is. He could be a brain surgeon. He might be a dumb guy. I don't know. But when he walks out and says something like that about the president, and then I guess he apologized to Canada for President Trump. I mean, I don't understand. He's apologizing to Canada because the president is going to put tariffs on Canadian goods. You know, tariffs, some would say, similar to the 270% markup on American dairy products going into Canada. 270%. So almost three times markup on goods we're sending there. We're not allowed to reciprocate. We're not allowed to say, okay, let's play that game. I mean, Robert De Niro's from New York. Robert De Niro isn't smart enough to know that New York is in the United States and that New York and New Yorkers and New York farmers, and there's a lot of farmers in New York, whether you think so or not, there are, that they are being hurt horribly by these ridiculous tariffs and taxes. Why is it that the left has a perfunctory stance, which is anti-Trump no matter what he says or does? Why is that? And I think the more important question is the Fourth Estate. The media, the journalists are supposed to ask questions to find out answers to... It's very simple. Why does Robert De Niro feel that way? I don't know. Paula doesn't know. Karina doesn't know. Nobody listening knows. Nobody has any clue why he feels that way. And it would be the journalist's job to ask. Now, had he said that about Obama, he would have been kicked out of Hollywood and there would have been a throng of reporters outside of his door waiting for him to respond as to why he was so horrible and so racist against the president of the United States. You see it about Trump. It's not only is it not going to be questioned, it's agreed with. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here. Quick break.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Oh, yeah. It is a Motown Monday. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. We love being on Newsmax TV as well. There's a lot going on. A lot of people want to opine about De Niro. Some very, very funny stuff happening with International House of Pancakes becoming International House of Burgers for, I don't know, it's not going to be very long. They're not going to do this very long. They haven't really changed their name. But Burger King changed their names to Pancake King for today. Whataburger, I think, had the first salvo, the first foray. And Whataburger, what did Whataburger say, Paula, will never become what a pancake? Something
yeah,
like
then
that?
They said as much as they love their pancakes, they would never become what a pancake.
So, I mean, it's good. It's great trolling.
Yeah.
They are trolling the heck out of International House of Pancakes. I wonder if the ad campaign is going to work. Yes, we're all talking about it. But just because we're talking about it, I don't believe that whole no publicity is bad publicity. I don't believe that. I believe that you can have bad publicity. Obviously, some careers have been ruined over bad publicity. I don't know that this is working to the advantage of International House of Pancakes. How about they just come out with an ad campaign saying, check out our seven new burgers. Why do they have to change the name at all, even for a day? Dumb. And Whataburger for the win. And I think Burger King a close second. Now Burger King did it first. I'll give them the win, but I think Whataburger was first on this one. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Let me go to the phone lines on Robert De Niro. Maybe you guys know what the heck his problem is. It's going to be John in Indiana. John, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, what's going on, brother? I'm a law enforcement officer here in Indiana. And
thanks, man.
I did a lot of research on De Niro. The most that I could find is everything to do with gun control. He wants to take every gun out of every hand, out of every American. There's a statistic that I would love to put on the air here. My wife was one of them last year. That's why I did some research. Last year, there were 3,400 Americans that were injured, assaulted by guns, violently. So my wife's at the gas station. A guy hits our vehicle, and I'm in the driver's seat, just put off work. The guy walks up to me with a knife out of nowhere. He's out of his mind on drugs. My wife pulls her gun. The guy takes off running. We called the police. The guy was arrested. That's happened 3 million times in 2017.
How do we verify that, though? See, here's the problem. That number, if that exists, I'm not saying that you're wrong, John. I want to believe you. But that number is, hold on. That number is not widely broadcast. Where'd you get it?
I actually found it off of a website on YouTube, and I did some research on the internet. You can find it. It's all government statistics. It's the FBI statistics, 2017. You can come up online, type in the FBI, statistics 2017.
No, John, I'll check it out. I think it's an important statistic. I don't know how they would get that number, though, because I think many times those things would never be reported. But even having said that, what you say about Robert De Niro, if it's true that he's got a problem with guns, every single movie set he's ever on is protected by good guys like you with guns. So he's full of crap.
Exactly. And what bothers me,
all right, brother.
These guys, honestly, I think he's a clickbait for the left-wing libertarians. That's all it is. They know he can act. They know he's crazy hooking on stage.
on our clients. And somebody, who's paying him? That's what I want to know. Who's paying Robert De Niro to be a moron? Because that's what's going on right now.
All right. Well, John, good question. Stay safe out there. We appreciate law enforcement, as you know, by listening to the program. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Who's paying him to do the movies? Obviously, the movie studios. But who's paying him to go on stage and attack Trump? I don't know. I just think that he's got it in his head that Trump is the Antichrist or something, and he's going to attack him for as much as he possibly can. Let me go back at it and say hello to line two. Is Paul in Pennsylvania. Paul, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Well, there's the problem right there. The caller before me, you know, he's throwing out statistics that aren't credible, okay? And I think that's why De Niro is trying to, he tried to shock people. Like, wake up, America. See what's going on. You know, you got people out here that are so pro-Trump that everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Whatever he said.
He didn't say any of that. Okay. He didn't say any of that.
Huh?
He didn't say any of that. What he said was F Trump.
I know, but he's a Trump. No, you can tell he's a Trump person. You know, with the guns and everything else, you know.
You think De Niro's a Trump person?
Oh, no. Definitely not.
So you just said that De Niro is trying to say, wake up, everybody. Hey, look, America. No, he's not. He's saying F Trump, and he's not saying why he's saying it.
No, he's trying to shock people into trying to realize what kind of person we have in the office of president right now. I even hate to say that with Trump.
Well, what kind of person do we have? What kind of person do we have?
Sell America down the river. That's a guy we have.
How so? You're from Pennsylvania, and he's looking to open up more steel factories, and you've got a problem in Pennsylvania with a guy who wants to do that. You would rather have had Hillary Clinton, really?
Pennsylvania's changed. Pennsylvania's now into the...
So you guys don't want steel anymore?
Especially in Pittsburgh. We had steel mills all over the place, okay? Now
right.
We don't.
Yeah, and he's gonna get manufacturing happening in America again. Why is that bad for you?
Why is it bad?
Paul, tell me what your problem is with Trump. I'm actually giving you airtime. Tell me what your problem is. The kind of guy who's in the White House. What, the kind of guy that lowers unemployment? The kind of guy that lowers taxes? The kind of guy that brings back manufacturing? The kind of guy that brings back black unemployment? Answer a simple question. What is your problem? What is your problem? Stop. Answer the question. I'll put you on hold. Paul, you're not listening. This isn't good TV or radio. This is really bad TV and radio. I'm giving you an opportunity to have your voice heard. I'll ask the question again. What specifically is your problem? Saying generic things like the kind of guy like he is doesn't help. Tell me specifically your problem. Go.
He's a liar.
That's it. That's your problem. And he hung up. You know why a guy like Paul hangs up? Because, I mean, you had Obama lie for 8 years. We outlined every single one of them. Every policy that he had, just about, was really, really bad for America and positive for the globe. He went on an apology tour. You've got Trump, who's lowered taxes, lowered regulations massively. He has lowered taxes, not just for you and me, the worker bees, but also for our bosses so they can expand and manufacture and bring plants back and build plants. The man has said, we're going to open up more steel in Pennsylvania. Why he won Pennsylvania, probably. We're going to have more manufacturing, more money for everybody. And he's a lawyer. That's what we get. Dinesh D'Souza when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
You wouldn't know it from the news, but this summit in Singapore with President Trump is historic. We're going to talk about that. Coming up at 8. Michael Bears.
Stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV, The Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to have back Dinesh D'Souza, movie maker, best-selling author, generally just a great guy. Dinesh, how are you?
Joe, great to be on the show, as always.
You know, it's always special to have you on. We had you on last week to talk about The Pardon, and I'm going to ask you right up front, you know, how you feel, if that's sunk in yet. But let me get the name of the book and the movie out right now, Death of a Nation. And the subtitle for the movie is Can We Save America a Second Time? You say there's a different subtitle for the book, right?
Yeah, the book is subtitled Plantation Politics and the Making of the Democratic Party.
Nice.
But the two will come out together, same title, and many of the same themes covered in both.
And when is it coming out? Is it still early August?
Yes, the first week of August, the book comes out, and that weekend, August 3rd, the movie will be in over 1,000 theaters nationwide. And, you know, we've talked about this before, Joe. It's really important for people, if they can, to go see it that first weekend, yeah, because it puts fuel into our rocket and helps us go expand to even more theaters.
And for those on the left or the right, this isn't about left and right. This is about Dinesh actually exposing the true history of our country that we're not learning from the educational system. We're not learning it from the media, not learning it from Hollywood. So this is really, really important stuff. You've got to go and see this movie and go read the book. I want to ask you before we deep dive into the book and the movie, how does it feel, man? Has it sunk in yet that you are, in fact,
oh my
a pardoned
gosh.
Man?
I mean, you know, initially, I felt certainly the sense of elation, and it became obvious to me that my life will improve in many practical ways. I mean, I don't have to get a judge's permission to travel anymore, right, and I don't have a probation officer visiting my house and breathing down my neck, and I don't have one day out of, you know, 5 days a week to have to devote to community service, thus inhibiting my productivity. So all of this little stuff is what I focused on. But it occurred to me this is much bigger than that. The pardon is ultimately, I mean, it's a great up yours to Obama, number one. And number two, it just lifts that kind of felon badge that the Obama holder Justice Department had managed to sort of hang around my neck.
Right,
and now it's gone, and what a liberating feeling!
And I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And the president does the right thing. Something that should have been a slap on the wrist turned into a felony, which is ridiculous. It's Dinesh D'Souza. He, of course, a great movie maker, best-selling author, a lecturer. If he's anywhere near where you are, make sure you go and see Dinesh when he's lecturing. The name of the new movie is Death of a Nation. Can we save America a second time? And what's interesting about this is I see the Hollywood Reporter story, and it was going to be my first question too, but my question isn't loaded like you did this to help Trump and now Trump, you know, scratched your back in return. My question is, how soon when you started to release this and you knew you were going to release this after being pardoned, did you realize the first ridiculous question from the left would be, did you run out and make a movie as soon as Trump, you know, did this favor for you? You knew that was coming, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the pardon came as a bolt from the blue. And in fact, I don't think that, you know, it was Ted Cruz who sort of buttonholed Trump and put the question to him.
Yeah.
And then it took about 30 days for that process to take place. But I should say, the idea for the movie rolled. And we drafted scripts in the fall. We did shooting in Europe and in America in January. We've been editing this movie now for weeks. And even the movie poster, which actually has a kind of morphed image of Lincoln and Trump, that poster was submitted to the Motion Picture Association of America. So all of this predates the pardon, and the two are completely unconnected. And so any speculation of the contrary is just flat out wrong.
Is there a website for this movie? Normally you've got the movie name as a website.
Yes, absolutely. There is one, and I think if you just Google Death of a Nation movie, it'll pull it up. Obviously, you can get information on my website, which is DineshD'Souza.com.
Okay.
So we'll be releasing a trailer shortly. At this point, we're just announcing the movie and putting out the poster. And just the very association of Lincoln and Trump is getting a lot of attention. But
well, yeah.
I think it's justified, Joe, because really, the surreal atmosphere of American politics now, just the craziness of it, I think Reagan would find almost incomprehensible. You'd have to go back to 1860 to find a time when the Democrats so fanatically refused to accept the result of a free election. So that alone, the commonality of the situation links Trump and Lincoln.
It's Dinesh D'Souza. The new movie is Death of a Nation. Also the new book, Death of a Nation. You've got to check out the movies and books all together because they're such great references for each other. And they really are great partners every time you do something like this. The left, for some reason, has co-opted Abraham Lincoln. He was a Republican. He was the guy and the party, the leader of the party that freed the slaves, that won the Civil War. The Civil War wasn't North versus South. It was Republican versus Democrat. And people have learned that from you, but you dared, as you just mentioned, to morph Lincoln's face, who everybody holds up on high as a saint, and everybody wants him to be part of their whatever their view of history is, with a guy that the left is touting as a racist, homophobe, misogynist, horrible person, Twitter fiend. I mean, when you did that, you knew what was going to happen, right?
Well, you have to remember that there were incendiary accusations, very different accusations that the Democrats made against Lincoln. I mean, first of all, they spread the rumor that Lincoln was actually black. They called him Abraham Africanus the First. And then they tried to defeat him. Even during the Civil War, the Northern Democrats were conspiring in all kinds of ways with the Confederacy to undermine Lincoln. They assassinated Lincoln after the war. And so Lincoln was the nightmare of the Democratic Party in somewhat of the same way that Trump is the nightmare of the Democratic Party now.
It's stunning because there are a lot of parallels, and what this president is doing to bring regular Americans together is, I think, historic. But at the same time, Dinesh, is it just because the population is so much bigger, or is it because of the omnipresence of media, social media, and the like now? Because we seem to see the elites are more separated than they've ever been, but the regular Americans, we truly are coming together under this guy.
Yes. Now, one great advantage that Lincoln had was he was able to unite the Republican Party behind him, and that became a very important source of his strength. I do think long-term that Trump, in order to win this, in order to defeat this whole kind of deep state operation being mounted, not just through the government, but through the media and Hollywood and so on, Trump does need the Republicans. And so I'm really hoping that this movie, by sort of telling a new story, by ultimately showing the glorious history of the Republican Party, will motivate Republicans to realize that they can actually get behind Trump and we can accomplish together a great deal.
Movie maker, movie producer, movie star, also best-selling author Dinesh D'Souza, great lecturer. Find him where he is. Go to DineshD'Souza.com. The new movie and book, Death of a Nation, you've got to go and check it out. When we talk about the history of the Republican Party, and again, I've learned so much from you over the years, that it completely boggles my mind that I didn't learn any of this stuff in school. Is the reason why we've got such a false idea of the true history of this nation, is it simply because of academia? Can we say academia, media, and something else? Or is it truly that public schools and the public school system is why we feel the way we feel? And by we, I don't mean you and I, but we as a country still feel that the left is the right and the right is the left.
Well, when we look at these progressive, big lies, as I call them, both about racism and about fascism, we have to realize that all are most ferociously echoed now, and they focus on Trump. They long predate Trump. I mean, the lies about the two parties switching sides, about Nixon's Southern strategy, this goes back to the 1960s. This is when the progressives came up with this. And the big lies about fascism go back even further to the 1940s. You have to remember that fascism was very popular among progressives before World War II.
Yeah.
Progressives loved the fascists, and the fascists loved the progressives. I mean, FDR was routinely celebrated in the Nazi press as being a fantastic leader, and the Germans said things like, we are trying to imitate FDR, we're only scared that he might fail. You know, the New Deal is basically another word for fascism. Now, after World War II, when fascism basically became radioactive, and the concentration camps were liberated, and then the progressives were coming to power in academia and the media. They were like, whoa, we don't want young people to find out about all this.
Yeah.
And so then began the process of sort of doctoring history, concealing information, leaving it out of the textbooks, and I think most ingeniously trying to move fascism from the left-wing column to the right-wing column.
You mentioned the Southern strategy and Richard Nixon, and I've talked to you at length about this. When you talk about the true history of the Republican and the Democratic Party in this country, and you tell the truth, you get attacked on social media by 2 billion people who all say, Southern strategy and the big switch. Now, I always respond this way, and you're way smarter than I am, and you tell me this all the time, but if you can, remind me if this is right or not. My answer to them always is, was there a convention? Was there a party? What was the gathering where the big switch happened? And how did it happen? Did they shake hands and say, you be a D, I'll be an R, have a nice day, best to your wife? And secondarily, the Southern strategy is BS. Richard Nixon desegregated this country more than just about anybody. So, Dinesh, am I off base when I respond to them that way?
No, you're on the right track, and we take this on very systematically, both in the book and the movie, and just crush it. And I'll just put out a small detail that I think is very telling. Yeah. So the basic thesis here is that Nixon was kind of a racist. Now, true, the progressives say he didn't make overt racist campaign statements. I mean, they haven't been able to find a single one.
Right.
But they say, well, what happened is that Nixon was doing these dog whistles, these kind of coded signals to the racists in the Deep South. Now, the problem with this is that, first of all, as soon as Nixon got elected, one of the first things he did is he invented affirmative action.
Right.
Nixon implemented the first affirmative action giving legal preferences to blacks over whites. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, does this sound like a racist?
Right.
I mean, a guy who's supposedly sending dog whistles and signals to Deep South racists is not going to give legal preferences to blacks over whites. So, but all of this nonsense, I call it Wikipedia scholarship, is been pushed out there, and people who know nothing about the history, who've never read Kevin Phillips, The Emerging Republican Majority, who don't know who actually won the Deep South vote, they continue to mouth this as if it's sort of, as if just repeating these mantras makes them true. But we dissect this stuff and really blow it apart. in the book and the movie.
I want you to go check out Death of a Nation movie. Google that or go to DineshDeSouza.com. Find out where he's speaking. Go and take in the speech and the lecture. It's amazing. Death of a Nation is also a book. Go and get the book. Dinesh, I've got to quickly ask you. You're a movie guy. You've been in the movies for a while. You know how the business works. I love Robert De Niro when he's reading somebody else's lines. He's expert. He is the best. When he's speaking for himself, he's kind of an idiot. Do you know what his problem is, or what Hollywood's problem is with Trump? Because saying he's a racist or he's horrible or he's a dog, that's easy to say. But none of these people back any of this stuff up.
You know, I think, Joe, this is a kind of lunatic asylum that they've got going in Hollywood. I mean, certainly, at least as far as politics is concerned. And for somebody like me who grew up in India watching movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Godfather, I was such a huge fan of people like Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro. And then in my mature life to come and see that these people are essentially clinical morons, you know, who don't have an original thought. And are full of venom. I mean, venom unsubstantiated with intelligence. I mean, it just is heartbreaking to see. And I kind of wish that I, you know, just stayed with the early movies and never heard another word out of their mouths.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Dinesh, I want to leave you with one question about current events. You've got the big summit with the president and with Kim Jong-un. And the left originally said Kim Jong-un was the puppet master, made the meeting happen. Then President Trump canceled it. And the left said, oh, my God, President Trump hates peace. And then he put the meeting back on and said, oh, look, you know, Kim is pulling all the strings again. Are you surprised by anything the left has done in response to this very positive thing the president's trying to do?
I mean, it is a measure of the unbelievable fear and loathing of Trump that you literally have people from Bill Maher to others wishing that the economy would collapse,
right,
wishing that the summit would fail, wishing that essentially we basically have poverty and world chaos in order for them to be able to prove and say, aha, we told you so about this guy. So this shows the level of venom that we have reached in the country. This is kind of why I say that poor Reagan would be a little bit of a fish out of water. But Lincoln understood these roiled waters. He faced them in his own time, and he responded with a kind of firmness and principle that I think Republicans can learn, including Trump, learn a lot from today.
The name of the movie is Death of a Nation. Can we save America the second time, a second time? The name of the book is also Death of a Nation with a different subtitle. The author and the movie maker, the producer, it is Dinesh D'Souza. He is must-see movie guy. He's also must-read author. I promise you will get an education and you'll walk out of the theater and say to yourself, I had no idea about most of what I just learned. Dinesh, thanks a million.
My pleasure.
Okay, we're back after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. It is a Motown Monday, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. We appreciate Dinesh D'Souza. We will have Dinesh back on in a week or two when the movie trailer is out. It's going to be another must-see. I mean, when this guy puts together a movie, there is an education in these movies that will blow your mind. If you haven't seen Obama's America 2016 or 2016 Obama's America, it's one or the other, go and see it. He actually goes to Kenya, and he actually goes and finds out about our former president's background, why his thoughts and his beliefs about America were formed the way they were. He actually talks to Obama's brother about why Barack Obama feels the way that he feels and about colonialism and so on. You got to go and do that. Also, Hillary's America 2016. No, is it 2016? No, I think that was just the Barack Obama. Hillary's America, the secret history of the Democratic Party. That was the next movie. And again, it will make your face hurt about what you don't know about the Democrat and the Republican parties throughout our history. Go and check that out. And now this one is going to be another must-see. We'll have him on again very soon. Your thoughts about what you just heard coming up. Let me, in the meantime, tell you about the importance of healthy blood pressure. Extremely important. If you're concerned about it, you should be. It's one of the keys to heart health and overall well-being. Find out your numbers. Find out what's going on with your blood pressure. It's very important. There is a way you can support healthy blood pressure levels with a simple lifestyle change. And the good news is it's super beets. It's a super vegetable. And look, I don't like beets. I don't like to eat beets. But Super Beets is made in such a way that it tastes great. I drink it in the morning, and I'm all set. Super Beets provides a nutrient that helps support healthy blood pressure by working with the body's own natural systems. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards and concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, call 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how they're working for you. Free shipping as well. You can't beat that. 800-516-8389 or go online to joelovesbeets.com. Make sure you tell them that I sent you. All right, let me see. We have enough time for a call. Let me grab a quick one. If you can make it fast for me, it's Pat in Philadelphia. Make it fast, Pat. Come on.
Yeah, you were talking about De Niro a little while ago.
Yeah.
I just can't understand. On national television, of course, he's got a name and he's got notoriety, and he uses the vulgarity that he used.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace, Joe.
It is.
And nothing is added. You know what I mean?
Pat, I don't want you to have a heart attack. Pat's getting into it. We got to go to break anyway. But, Pat, you're absolutely right. I'm glad somebody called in. You know, at one point, we had standards on radio, on television, in public. And now it seems because of the hatred for the current president or because of the left wing being so prominent in media and in academia, in Hollywood, and so on, you can say anything you want to say as long as it's against the right person and you're all good. We got to go on television. We're back tomorrow. We will see you for hour number three on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. We appreciate you. Also on the website, you'll see the video feed right there on the right-hand side. On your computers, just scroll down if you're on a device. On a Monday. Ah, we love the Motown Monday. That's how we do. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thank you. Carrie is off today. We've got Polo and Karina alongside. Plenty going on. Plenty to get to. You know, more fallout from the G7. I got to be honest with you. G7 doesn't mean anything if we're not you know the country leading the way. It means nothing. As said last week by Mark Lauder, the former press secretary for the vice president, also former special assistant to President Trump. Mark Lauder said it's really the G1+6. The media liked reporting it as the G6+1. It's not true. Our economy is bigger and more powerful than the economies of all six of the other countries combined. They thought they were going to come out and push the country around. President Trump said, you're not going to push the country around. And that's the way it is. And Angela Merkel is now, you know, whining and complaining. Said it was sobering and depressing. Yeah, it's sobering and depressing to no longer have one up on the United States of America. It's sobering and depressing to have to actually play fairly with your friend from the United States. It's sobering and it's depressing to realize that the unbelievable profit margin you were making is going out the window. You know, fair trade should be fair. Free trade should be free. You're like, well, what is that? You're just saying words now. No, think about it. What's fair? If you put X amount of tariff on our stuff, we should put the same exact amount of tariff on your stuff. That's fair. Free trade should mean no tariffs or taxes this way, no tariffs or taxes that way. It's actually very simple. I'm not an economic mind. I'm not an accountant. I'm not somebody who crunches numbers for a living. But it seems to be simple to me that fair would be exactly the same on both sides. Free would mean zero on both sides. There really, for me, there's no question there. Why are we pretending there is one? But now she's finding it sobering and depressing. It is sobering and depressing when you find that the company you've been screwing, or the country you've been screwing for so many years, is finally awake. as the kids would say, Polo, we're woke. What, why is that a thing, by the way?
Who knows?
Who decided that using the wrong tense of the word awake was somehow cool? I don't get it.
It's dumb. Are you woke? Dumb. The whole thing's dumb.
Are you woke? Yeah, but you're woke, right?
No.
Oh, I'm so woke. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. So we'll get into the G7, what Angela Merkel is complaining about in a moment. And I think what they don't like, and by they I mean the other six in the G7, what they don't like is that President Trump is unafraid to expose them. President Trump is unafraid to say what's really happening. President Trump is unafraid to say how bad the Iran deal was, or how mishandled North Korea was under other presidents, not just Obama, other presidents, the Bushes and so on, and the Clintons. Well, the Clinton, although Hillary thought she was going to be president. We'll get into that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Twitter for a second. Now, Twitter is a great, valuable resource. And Twitter, if you're not on it, I'm not here to tell you get on it. If you are on it, make sure you follow me. It's at Joe Talk Show. Twitter is a really good resource because it seems to be a little more immediate than Facebook is. Facebook and its algorithms seem to hide more stuff. Twitter's doing it. And you do have the ability to put stuff out there on your Twitter feed where you might not otherwise be able to put it out there. Now, I can because I've got a 3-hour radio show, but Twitter is where the president can circumvent the big media that in many ways hides what he says. But Twitter also is becoming more and more stifled speech. Okay, I just want to tell Cecil, Polo, I'm just going to stop for a second. Tell Cecil, stop sending me the email. You send it 3 times now. Okay, just, I love you, but just stop it. Anyway. The CEO of Twitter is Jack Dorsey. His handle on Twitter, if you don't follow him, is at Jack. Now, I didn't know anything about this. Karina, you're young and hip and woke, so maybe you know something about this. If you boost something on Twitter, what does that mean? You're actually giving money to the person?
It boosts, I think it works like Facebook ads, so it'll boost your post so you can show up in different people's feeds.
I mean, I'm looking at Jack's feed, and I think you sent me this story. It says that he boosted Chick-fil-A, and it says your 10% boost at Chick-fil-A was applied. You were charged $28.43. Chick-fil-A, Los Angeles, California, $31.58. So what does that mean? He went and he bought a sandwich and was so happy with him, he gave him some money?
Oh, I'm not sure how that works. Usually what boost post means is that they're promoted and you just...
Okay.
Kind of show your post to something else.
So weird. I think I'm pretty hip and woke when it comes to these things, but I have no clue what the boost means there. I know you could boost something on Facebook and it costs you money. You got to pay Facebook. This appears to be Jack Dorsey giving money to Chick-fil-A. All right, here's a story from the Daily Caller, because there is outrage over the fact that he boosted Chick-fil-A. This is written by Peter Hassan, reporter over the Daily Caller. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey on Sunday expressed regret over eating at Chick-fil-A because the chicken company CEO's personal views on gay marriage. Dorsey tweeted a screenshot from his phone that showed a purchase he had made at Chick-fil-A using a mobile application. After a liberal backlash, however, Dorsey apologized for eating at the popular fast food restaurant. At issue was Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Caffey's 2012 support for defining marriage as between a man and a woman, which he described as the biblical definition of a family. So there are the two boosts now that Jack Dorsey made. And then somebody named Adam Goodman, I've never heard of, he's verified, I don't know who that is. On behalf of the whole LGBTQ community, Jack, kindly boost your head out of your ass. I guess that's appropriate in this day and age. Somebody named Erica Joy also verified. Please delete this or follow up with how much free advertising you're going to give GLAAD, GLAAD. Next one is Soledad O'Brien. Is she still on CNN? I think so. This is an interesting company to boost during Pride Month, Jack. To which at Jack responded, "You're right. Completely forgot about their background." Well, what is their background? So here's a guy, Dan Caffey, the CEO of the company. I actually thought he was the COO of the company when the question was asked. But either way, big deal. He's of the family that founded Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is known for making chicken sandwiches. One can argue a damn good chicken sandwich. Chick-fil-A is a fast food restaurant. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. It's a religious family that founded it, and they want to give their employees Sundays off to go to church, do whatever. For some unknown reason, and it's never truly been explained to me why this question came up, a reporter asked Dan Caffey, "Hey, what do you think about gay marriage? Or what's your definition of marriage?" But it doesn't matter what his definition of marriage is if you like his chicken sandwiches. And he dares say, "I believe in traditional marriage. I believe that it's between one man and one woman." Something that, I don't know, Barack Obama said when he was running for election in 2008. He said those words, "It's between one man and one woman." He, of course, changed that in like 2012, and now he's, "Hey, gay marriage is cool." So for some unknown reason, a reporter asks Dan Caffey your definition of marriage. He gives the traditional definition, and there's nothing incendiary. There's nothing controversial about believing that marriage is the traditional family marriage, which is a man and a woman. Men and women can procreate together as long as everything's working right. Two men can't. Two women can't. What he said is not controversial. Yet remember, you had the gay sit-ins and the gay people kissing each other at Chick-fil-A and people going through drive-through Chick-fil-A and you're a bigot and you're no good and everything else. Jack Dorsey clearly likes Chick-fil-A. And I guess was dumb enough to post on his own website, Twitter, that he likes Chick-fil-A and was attacked and immediately, like the spineless liberal he must be, backed off. Instead of saying, "You know, I like their chicken sandwiches. I don't really care what their definition of marriage is." That would have been an appropriate answer. But instead, you need to be shouted down if you dare not side with the very, very loud minority in this country. It's very strange to me. And what's interesting is Chick-fil-A actually did very, very well after that whole controversy because the vast majority of people said, there's nothing controversial about saying you think marriage between a man and a woman, and their chicken sandwiches rock. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now,
your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Motown Monday. Bring it like it's been brought in. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Go hit me up on Facebook. There's a link right there. On Twitter, there's a link right there. Instagram. I don't think I posted anything on Instagram since last week. I think I posted a studio shot getting ready for the program last week. I'm gonna take a trip tomorrow. I've got a conference I've got to go to, and I'll send you some pictures on Instagram there. I probably will engage in Instagram more than the others tomorrow. But, yeah, go and check that out. Certainly would like to hear from you. Also, hit me up on the email. A lot of you listen on the podcast. And I don't know that I say this enough, but I appreciate you. It's not, you know, it's something that you actually have to plan. It's not like you're in the car, you pop it on, you happen to catch the show. You got to go and try to find my show, download it, and listen to it on podcast. And we appreciate that. We saw some podcast numbers today, and a ton of you are doing so. So I appreciate you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. What about Jack Dorsey feeling like he's got to apologize about eating at Chick-fil-A because the CEO of Chick-fil-A, who's a Christian, it's a Christian family that founded the company, believes that marriage is a man and a woman. Now, keep in mind, Dan Caffey never said, "I hate gay people," or "gay people is no good," or, you know, "gay sex is this, that, or the other." Never said anything like that. He was just answering a question. What are your beliefs on marriage? And he gave the answer, traditional marriage, man and a woman. That makes him a bigot. So somehow to somebody. Let me go to the phone lines here. Say hello and welcome to Steven in Philadelphia on Robert De Niro. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, Joe. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I think until it comes directly from Robert De Niro, we may not know, but I do have two theories. One,
sure.
Robert De Niro does have some business arrangements or promoted his business a lot in Saudi Arabia. If you can look up in Arabian News, he's been there. He opened up a film festival. And in 2016, he talked about, you know, trying to get promotions for his Caribbean tourism. I'm just speculating that maybe when the cabal was stopped with his Prince Al-Waqid bin Salah, I hope I said his name right, maybe something happened there. Maybe something stopped his finances from his Caribbean condos. And, I mean, that would make me mad, too.
Well, I mean, I'll comment on that. I mean, the president seems to have a good relationship with Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure why that would somehow hurt Robert De Niro. I heard somebody speculate that De Niro has a bunch of hotels or something, and maybe that they compete with the Trump hotels. I don't know. But I wish somebody, Stephen, don't you wish a reporter would walk up with a camera and a microphone and say, hey, Mr. De Niro, what's the problem?
Well, yes, but I mean, it's the same thing with the kneeling with the anthem. I mean, I still don't know why they're kneeling. You know, nobody gave a specific answer. So there has to be something behind the scenes. But if you look there, that he was getting investments. He was in Saudi Arabia getting investments. I don't think he's so much competing, but this one prince that they had over money laundering, that might have been his financing to, you know, to take him out. And I know, and as you said, until it comes directly from him, we may never know.
And by the way, if anybody ever said that about Obama when he was in office, like I said earlier, a throng of reporters would be camped out side of their house until they got an appropriate answer. And it would have to be an answer that the media accepted. Remember back then, they didn't just let you give an answer. You had to explain yourself 14 or 15 times to Sunday. And if the answer still didn't alleviate you of their speculation or their skepticism, then you were a racist. That's what it was. And to me, nobody's asking questions of those who are attacking Trump because they like it. And then you get a standing ovation from the idiots in the audience. That's just nuts, man. Let me go back at it. It's going to be Gregory in Oregon. Gregory, what's going on?
Hello, sir. This is Sergeant Brown. Hey, I pretty much figured out what the problem is. It's happened at least twice other in American history. Trump is one of those people that you either love him or hate him, just like General Patton and General Custer. You either loved him or you hated him.
Right.
But why do you love and hate those men? They're successful. It's jealousy. That's really all it is. It's just
but Robert De Niro is a successful guy. He's worth millions.
Yeah, and Trump's had three beautiful wives. He has beautiful children and lots of money. De Niro has an average wife. It's jealousy.
I have no idea what his wife looks like. Who's his wife? Do you know?
No, I'm going to tell you. It's jealousy. Whether it's
all right, man. Sergeant, I appreciate you. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's jealous because Trump has had three beautiful wives and he's got an average wife, because I don't know what his wife looks like. I don't think he's married. Is Robert De Niro married? Because, I mean, it used to be that you would hear about Robert De Niro and all the, you know, all these celebrity magazines, and he's dating this one, that one, the other person. But I don't know anything about his wife. But yeah, I mean, it can't really be jealousy, because De Niro's not out there complaining about Warren Buffett. He's not out there complaining about Bill Gates. I mean, these people have much more money than Trump does. He's not out there, you know, complaining about people with you know, a bunch of wives in their past. I don't know. So I mean, as much as jealousy is the easy answer, I don't think that's it. Polo, do you speculate on what Robert De Niro's problem is with Trump?
I think it has to do with, like, business stuff, I think. You know, whether it was he was trying to build stuff there in New York and maybe he got outbid by Trump, or maybe, you know, something along those lines. Because I know that
Wouldn't it be ridiculously easy to find that out, wouldn't it?
If somebody wanted to look.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody does.
No, I think you're right. I think that they want him to continue being this bulldog about Trump. It's very, very weird to me. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Let me relate the Chick-fil-A story to when I used to be somebody who worked at Domino's Pizza and then to Damo's Pizza in Delray Beach, Florida. Those of you in WFTL in South Florida, you know Delray Beach, obviously. You're right. You're pretty close to there. And certainly you serve that area on 8:50 a.m. We used to be right next door to the to the high school, Atlantic High School, is right next door on Seacrest Avenue. And I once had this, and I talked about this many, many times. This is a story that you've heard before if you listen for any length of time. If you're brand new to the program, you might not have heard it at all. But I had a student come in, a young girl or young lady, 15, 16 years old, who said, "Are you pro-life or pro-abortion?" And keep in mind, we were selling subs and sandwiches and wings. So it really had nothing whatsoever to do about the abortion debate. Nothing. Not even a little bit. And I said, "Why does that matter? You're here to buy some food." She said, "Because Tom Monahan, the owner," and he was the owner at the time, it's somebody else now, but Tom Monahan, the owner of Domino's Pizza, it donates to pro-life organizations. I said, "So you're mad that he's donating to an organization that is promoting life? You realize what you're saying? Well, he's anti-abortion, and abortion is a woman's right, blah, blah, blah. So I need to know before I give you any of my money what your stand is on pro-choice or pro-life." I said, "I'm really, really glad my mother didn't think she had a choice. Now, do you want pizza or not?" So I don't go into the retail store, the drugstore, the gas station, the gym. I don't ask the people who run the damn place, "How do you feel on these important political issues? How do you feel on these important social issues? Where are you?" Now, if I walk in and you're calling people the N-word, I'm out. This is not an establishment for me. But I never thought that was any sort of an indicator. I had to walk in and question the entire staff before I'd spend some money there. Quick break. We're coming back with your phone call. Stay here.
This is...
You wouldn't know it from the news, but this summit in Singapore with President Trump is historic. We're going to talk about that coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Great radio stations everywhere. We appreciate you stopping by. It's a lot going on. People still want to be heard on Robert De Niro. And if you've got a good idea on why Robert De Niro is a foul-mouth, potty-mouth doofus just attacking the president with no substance, none whatsoever. I mean, he just doesn't say anything that has any substance whatsoever. I'd love to hear from you. Hopefully you guys have a better idea than I do because I don't get it. The guy's a very popular actor. He's a very good actor. He's an historically great actor. We in America go and see his movies. We appreciate his craft. I have no idea what the guy's problem is when it comes to President Trump. And he's not saying it. I mean, if he were saying it, then I could say, "Oh, well, yeah, that's kind of stupid, and here's why." But I can't. But it is interesting how our social norms have changed to where a guy like that who screams the F word about our president gets a standing ovation. That's not only accepted, it's invited. It wasn't accepted nor invited against Obama. You said anything about Obama, you are racist. Period, end of story. See it about Trump, and not only is it accepted, it's now expected from Hollywood. Talking about the norms, our social norms, former President Bill Clinton is not helping himself much. He's out on the book tour. He's out on the book stump. And he's, you know, his answers to the Lewinsky issue and lying under oath and being impeached and all these other women, his answers just don't make any sense. Suddenly, 20 years later, the left media is willing to ask him hard questions about how he's treated women for as long as he's been in the public spectrum, the public sphere, if you will. His answer, when asked about what he did then with women as compared to the Me Too movement today, his answer has been this. Quote, "Norms have changed for what you can do to somebody against their will." Norms have changed. What does that mean? Say, in his day, you grab an ass, not a big deal. His day, you look down somebody's shirt, you grab her unwantedly. I mean, that's all okay. I mean, is he making an excuse? Well, because society seemed to accept it, then it was okay that I did it. Is that like saying, you know, we used to bunk him over the head with a club and then drag him back to the cave like cavemen did? And because they used to do it, I could get away with it for a little while. But the norms have changed now. Things are different now. I find him to be just a caricature of who he used to be. And it's interesting to see him as an old, frail guy trying to put on the same Bill Clinton charm he used to. It's weird. It's actually a little bit scary. It's like a skeleton trying to pretend they're Bill Clinton. And he just doesn't have the delivery anymore, doesn't have the smoothness anymore. And again, I don't know if it was Me Too or the fact that they were attacking President Trump, then candidate Trump, then the media said, well, we have to start attacking Bill Clinton now or else we look like a bunch of idiots. But this guy, I mean, he's having it handed to him as he goes out and does his book tour. And I'm here to say about time. Here to say about time. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Kristen, who's in Oregon, on Robert De Niro. Kristen, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
You know, I just rewatched the other night. It came up in my YouTube feed. I just rewatched the election coverage on the news for, you know, election night. And one need look no further than that to see when the Trump derangement syndrome started. And I'm sure De Niro's part of that. You know, hell hath no fury. They were robbed. And anything done in service to tearing this guy down is all good in their mind.
But I got to ask you, Kristen, because that's, you really have my interest now. Why would you have rewatched that?
You know what? It's really funny, actually. I have a friend who, when she wants to get motivated and she wants to be happy, she rewatches the liberal tears on election night. And it was just really funny. And it came up in my feed for some reason, and I clicked on it.
Yeah.
And it's mesmerizing to watch it again and watch their hopes sink and the realizations sink in, and you can just see the fury. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, the person who was supposed to win didn't. And you can just see it on their faces. It's really elucidating. I mean, you know, you just see it. It's like that was not in the playbook, and they are just furious.
Well, what's interesting is when they showed the video in the Javits Center in New York City, where I think it was the Javits Center, where Hillary Clinton was going to come out and make her acceptance speech about how she just got a call from Donald Trump and he conceded and blah blah blah, we're going to go forward in America. When she never walks out, and I think it was Panetta, it was one of them. Not Panetta. Who is it? John Podesta walks out and he says that she's not going to come to the podium tonight. Have a good night, everybody. Go home. The look on the faces of the people in there, this must be what you were watching, because these people were just destroyed. They couldn't move. They were just,
I watched that, and I watched a lot of, like, the CNN coverage, the CBS, NBC, all those people. When you watch the compilations that are all over YouTube, when you watch them and you just watch the morose, the sadness, the, oh, my gosh, this is just terrible. You know, I can understand how they feel, because I remember when Obama was elected the second time, I remember feeling like, how did this happen? But the left does not have, unfortunately, I don't think people on the left have the same, you know, they don't have the same ethics that people on the right do. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, but it's like, you know, I would never put a Trump sticker on my car for fear I would get keyed. But you know,
well, what's interesting about Obama winning re-election in 2012 is that the next day you and I went to work, or you know, we still had a day. It's like these people couldn't move for like a month. It was weird.
Right. And they're still paralyzed by it. They have made this guy up into such a monster that they can't see straight. They really can't. I mean, they don't care what he does. He could act like Mother Teresa for the next of his term, and they wouldn't care.
Right.
They don't care. De Niro saying F Trump, that's why they're cheering. Anything goes. I mean, Samantha.
It's very strange. Well, Chris, I think you're on to something. I don't know that he's that guy who is falling apart that night from the election, but I think that he's smart enough to know that there is a loud segment of the country, and certainly of his business, it's almost everybody, who loves that kind of crap. They eat it up. The problem that he's going to run into is that he wants us all to go see his movies. And we're not going to go see his movies if this is who he is. If he's not smart enough to know what the audience is, and that the audience lives, generally speaking, the vast majority of us live outside of Hollywood, then he's going to suffer badly. Now, maybe he won't care. He's a rich guy, has had tons of success for a generation or two. But man, I think that, like the football players, like others who have suffered from you know, many of us running away from what it is that you're doling out because you can't shut up, I think that he'll find that out. But maybe he's already done his best work. Who knows? Let me go back at it and say hello to line three is Julie in Canyon Lake. Julie, what's up?
Hold on.
Hello, Julie. Hi.
Hi, Joe. Hey, I'm there.
Hey.
I wanted to take you off speakerphone so I could hear you. It's supposed to follow the rules.
Cool. What's happening?
Just want to say that Robert De Niro, I agree with your caller, the one before the one, that he's jealous of Trump. They are probably a little bit of rivals. He's from, you know, both from New York. He's 74, and he's married to an African American woman named Grace Hightower, who actually, and he's mad because back in 2017, she's spending all his money. So I truly think that he is jealous of Trump.
He's jealous of Trump because his wife is spending all of his money?
Yes, because he doesn't have the money that Trump has. He doesn't have the...
Yeah, but he never did. Nothing. I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, he's worth millions, but he never had Trump money.
Well, I know. But also, he's married to an African-American. I think she is. She looks more African-American than Valerie Jarrett, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I don't know who he's married to, but I'll look up... What's her name?
Grace Hightower.
Grace Hightower. But I will say this. I paid attention to Robert De Niro for much of my life, and I appreciate you, because I found him to be a very good actor. Plus, he was in all these movies about Italians. But when he was on the front cover of fill-in-the-blank, you know, Inquirer or whatever rag there was as you're waiting to check out at the grocery store, there was always some young black woman that he was either dating or going after. Wasn't there a story where he was really, really interested in Lisa Bonet back in the Cosby Show days? So, I mean, that's not surprising to me. I don't care if he likes black people or white people to date. That doesn't affect me. I don't care if his wife is African-American or Lily White. Doesn't matter at all. But the whole money angle I'm not getting. What I'm saying about the black angle that she brings up is that's not a surprise. Everybody has known that Robert De Niro has an affinity for black women. Great. I don't really care. But the money angle doesn't make sense to me because he's never had Trump money. I don't know, man. And this is pure speculation. I have nothing to back this up other than I know they both have hotels. I think it would be more of a money play in that De Niro also. What is it? What is it? Nobu or something, Paulo? Is that the name of it?
Is it a restaurant?
Is that a restaurant chain or is that hotels?
It's a restaurant.
So is it a restaurant that shows up in hotels?
Possibly. I mean, I want to say that one of those is definitely in Vegas.
It feels like there's an angle there, isn't there? Doesn't it?
Maybe.
It can't just be he doesn't like the guy. A lot of people don't like the guy.
No,
and they're not yelling, you know, F Trump at award ceremonies.
Or there you go. Is he part owner of like one of those restaurants or something?
I thought Nobu was his.
Well, let's say,
what I thought was a couple of months ago, I thought that Robert De Niro actually said he's banned from any of his restaurants.
Okay,
or something.
Well then let's say that that's the case, and then maybe he was going to put another one somewhere else in Vegas, and somehow Trump blocked it. And then that's where that comes from, you know?
I wish somebody would just freaking ask him. It would be that much easier. Because to me, it's the great fall of a wonderful actor. I mean, he thinks he's doing something positive and great. He's not. This is like him falling out of grace in a big way to the vast majority of his fan base, which is just dumb. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Details.
You're always just minutes away from the latest news, traffic, and weather, and breaking news when it happens. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. Thanks to Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. I really appreciate you stopping by. And I want to make sure that you understand that we really do mean that. And by that, I mean, I love you, love, love, girl, love. All right, I want to remind you about Omaha Steaks. You know, it's Father's Day coming up this coming Sunday. It's right around the corner. It's almost here. Dads love steak. They love meat. They love to grill, and they especially love it when their family is around. You've got to get this special Father's Day gift from Omaha Steaks right now. Omaha Steaks gets it done, the highest quality cuts, and a one-of-a-kind flavor as well. All beef is USDA inspected for quality and age for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of all the cuts. I enjoy Omaha Steaks, have loved them for years now. They're giving away a limited time offer to my listeners for Father's Day, 78% off. Feels like a giveaway, right? It's a really amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in Pags in the search bar, omahasteaks.com, type in Pags in the search bar, get two tender filet mignons, sirloins, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 more grill-ready Omaha steak burgers free with the purchase. Again, limited time. It's only $49.99. You got to go to omahasteaks.com right now. Omahasteaks.com. Type in PAGS in the search bar. Add the Father's Day package to your cart. You will be happy. He'll be very happy that you did. We go to the phone lines at a time remaining. It's going to be Bob in Michigan. Bob, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
Hey, I wanted to give my opinion as far as the Robert De Niro outrage. He's pushing his party's stance for the most part. If somebody, I want to give you an analogy. If somebody is playing a game and they lose fair and square, they feel bad, but they move on. But when somebody takes so much effort into setting things up to win, where they feel it's in the bag, and even if somebody goes as far as to cheat in some way and they still lose, they feel extremely. It magnifies the whole outrage of it. You feel like a bit of a loser if you lose fairly. You feel like an extreme loser when you've taken these extra, even covert, maybe ways. And, you know, there's debate over whether or not Hillary, you know, to the extent of Hillary's and other party members, you know, doing nefarious things to get, to win the victory. But now, you know, no matter what they've done, to the expectation was so high.
But I got to tell you, I've never seen it like this. You sound like you're probably about my age, and you, I don't know if you're a boxing fan or not. But I remember February 10th of what was it? It had to be 1990. That's exactly what date it was. It was Mike Tyson taking on Buster Douglas in Japan. Everybody knew Mike Tyson was going to not only win, he was going to kill him. He was going to kill him. And Buster Douglas knocked Mike Tyson out. Nobody did all this, you know, F Buster Douglas. Nobody, you know, freaked out. Millions upon millions of dollars were lost when people bet on that fight because nobody thought Mike Tyson could be beaten, certainly not by this scrub that nobody ever heard of. So sometimes, Bob, it happens. Why can't these people just understand that and move on?
I don't know. Like I said, they've taken extreme measures to guarantee the victory and still lost, and that really is deflating. And I understand it, but you know, I think it's a bit misplaced. But there's a little bit of shame that comes with, you know, going through so much effort and still losing, and having somebody be so good that they beat you anyway, even when you go through such extreme measures to win.
Well, Bob, great answer. I think that you might be onto something. And before anybody emails me or writes me or tweets me that the fight was actually February 11th of 1990, it was February 10th here in the States. It was February 11th in Japan, where the time is certainly forward from us. I remember because I was actually watching it, and it was somebody's birthday, and I got in trouble for not paying attention to her. I was paying attention to, you know what I mean, Polo? I was paying attention to the fight.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, Mike Tyson was getting his ass kicked. How could I not look at that?
That was the biggest news in the world at that moment, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And again, it happened in Japan. It was February 11th of 1990, but of course here, it was February 10th. And we're watching it, and I'm going, that did not just happen. That is not going on. And, well, I was in trouble. I was in so much trouble that day. I think I was in a doghouse a good month after that. But I get it. It's your birthday. I mean, I shouldn't care that the one guy nobody ever thought could be beaten was getting his block knocked off over in Japan. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. I was going to take another one, but I don't have time. We do have time, however, for pop culture. Pipe up! Dirty pop. Hi, Polo, make it happen.
All right, so what do you think is going to go on over there in Singapore? Because I see that Dennis Rodman landed over there.
Well, then it's all going to be good then if Dennis Rodman landed, because God knows he's going to help out with world peace.
Right. And of course, they
I don't know. I think the bottom line is this. It's a spectacle like it should be.
Right.
And I think that when they walk out, they'll probably be smiling. There will be plenty of pictures taken. And it's not going to go anywhere near as badly as the left wants. And I don't think it's going to solve everything like the right wants. So who knows?
Right. And it's funny because they're showing pictures of Dennis Rodman at the airport. And he's wearing some shirt that says something about a pot coin or something like that. So, of course, he's trying to capitalize on it, you know, so it's just funny.
Yeah, the fact that he's involved, honestly, I'm not surprised. I know that he's friends with both sides, so it is actually interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see what goes down, and as we find out information, we'll bring it to you right here. For Karina, for Polo, for Sam, for Carrie, who's off, Joe Pags. We're back tomorrow. Actually, Mike Apulka in tomorrow. We'll see you then.